Welcome to Envision This, connecting you to visionaries of a more resilient, equitable, healthy, and earth-friendly future. We are your guests, Burl and Mary Paul, and we are welcoming our guest for the evening, Raina Lombard. She's a highly gifted, intuitive, psycho-spiritual therapist and healer who supports your total success by offering transformational processes. Raina is an effective, inspiring, and Raina has an effective, inspiring, and spirited way of empowering your unique vision, supporting rapid breakthroughs to lifelong success and well-being. She's co-founder of the Awareness Network. She's also co-author of Authentic Alignment, along with 12 other wise women who reveal the secrets to a stellar life. Raina's chapter, Empowering Your Divine Life Purpose, 7 Keys to Loving Yourself and Fulfilling Your Life, helps you discover what your soul is calling you to do. So we invite those of you who are listening live to join our conversation with her at any time during this episode by calling 646-652-2235. You are a welcome part of the conversation. And help us to welcome Raina Lombard.
Thank you so much, Mary. I appreciate the opportunity to be of service.
Yes, exactly. Raina, when did you develop your burning desire to contribute to the betterment of your family, society, and the global mission?
Well, it evolved over many years. As a child, I always felt like there was something really important that I needed to do in the world, but I had no clue really what that was, except that I just wanted a lot of love and attention and affection like other children, and I could give it freely. My father was that way, and so he was a wonderful role model for me. And as I evolved, I started getting, you know, growing up and getting involved in school. And I was always a very, very good student and looking for a lot of praise from my teachers because I lost my father when I was quite young. I was only 9 years old, and he had been, what I heard, quite ill since I was born. So there was a sense of urgency to save my father as a child, which is a very big burden for anyone to carry, especially a young child. So, you know, I just felt like to save the world was just part of my conversation in my head. And so that gave me urgency to really get my life on track. And somewhere in there, I wasn't sure I was going to live that long either, you know, which was deep in my subconscious. And it did propel me to really get moving on in my life in a very fast way and in a profound way as I discovered my own gifts and talents. As a dental hygienist for a couple of years, and then I had this major wake-up call to become a therapist because I went to therapy myself after a depression in my early 20s and realized that, hey, I like this therapy stuff. It really works. So then my path was set, and I became a marriage and family therapist in my late 20s because of that. All of those things going on so I could contribute more from who I am.
So you must be my twin sister because my father died when I was 10. Prior to that, he went through, he had cancer and was sick for 2 years. So a lot of what you're saying in your story, I can really identify with.
Yeah.
Raina, you mentioned that your work and play are your passion, your life, your heart, and your soul. In what way is that possible?
Well, because I bring my whole self to my work, which in this case is are my therapy sessions or my groups that I have, that I run, I have a lot to share, and I'm very empathetic and compassionate toward my other people, just whether I'm at the grocery store or actually in my work. And I just love sharing and hearing what's going on with people in a very healing context. And that's my work. And it also is in my family. I didn't mention family is my passion, but yeah, I absolutely use my tools that I learned becoming a marriage and family therapist as I, you know, had relationships and into my 20s. And then in my 30s, I got married for the second time and I had a child, and he's 29 and married now. But I learned so many tools that I've been passionate about using in my own life and also sharing with other people as they come in for therapy, for couples and relationship counseling, for healing work on a body level, because I've had health challenges that I've had to deal with. So I've been through it all, and I've continued to grow and to learn, and that is my passion, lifelong learning and bringing my gifts to the forefront to encourage other people to really embrace their own divine purpose in life. You know, what are your gifts? What are you here to do? What is your soul calling you to do? What's in your heart? What do you really want to share? If fear was not an issue, if there was absolutely nothing blocking you financially or in any other way, what do you envision for yourself out in the world contributing and being of service? Those are such important questions to ask ourselves.
You shared with me a vision that you have of a healthy world where people are supported to reach their full potential. What changes will this require, and how do you envision it coming about?
Wow, that is such a huge question. Of course, there are so many areas in our, you know, culture and in our global society that needs work. You know, personal evolution is one thing. You know, Gaia is poisoned and needs our support and help. And I think what I'm hearing from my own higher self right now and talking to you is that each person needs to get in touch with how they can better themselves by being an authentic, you know, trustworthy, responsible human being, and bringing those gifts and be part of a cause, you know, get behind other people and other groups that are really involved with cleaning up the environment, with cleaning up our, who knows, political system, cleaning up, you know,
our economic system and our work system and our school
and system. Every system, every single system. And it's about seeing and really, again, being in touch with where can I make the biggest difference, you know, and then work on that. You know, hang out with mentors who are already doing that, who can continue to encourage you and give you opportunities to really be part of the solutions.
How do you carry out your mission to assist humanity and each sentient being to believe wholeheartedly in their divine nature?
Well, first of all, I hold the sacred space for each person or each animal, because I really love animals and plants, to be in a loving environment. And that really does require some effort to notice what feels good, what doesn't, and how can I, you know, kind of manifest being around positive energy and positive people to really, you know, be more in touch with my full self. And that to me is pretty important to carry out, you know, your mission while you're here. And it's through self-discovery and your environment, you know. Like it's very difficult sometimes working with, say, a child who's comes from a dysfunctional family, you know, and helping that child, you know, own their playfulness and just assume that they are this divine being that deserves all the abundance and is a brilliant, you know, person here on the planet, and then to put them back in the dysfunctional family because the environment tends to kick off survival and ego kinds of, you know, processes, that defense mechanisms that we build up to protect ourselves from getting hurt and all of that. So that's why it's really important to work with the whole family and embrace and heal the parents and the generations from before. They just didn't know any better. Let's face it, you know, they're a product of their own upbringing and it wasn't always positive. So, and there were wars to deal with and famines and, you know, crises in people's lives. So I'm all about healing from the generations that came before us and look at what's going on now and doing my best to be a conduit to facilitate overcoming, you know, emotional issues and bring the spirit in and start really trusting that spirit does have a plan for each of us. And it doesn't have to be a religious experience. It can be just, you know, really just kind of trusting that all is good right here and now. And then I start seeing that happening around me.
As you were talking, I thought about the depth of the work that you're doing, because we're really talking about 6 to 10,000 years of conditioning of the human species. Really about the time we went from hunting, gathering, and into agriculture and civilization.
Right.
I really appreciate. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and we're in such a fast-paced informational age now where, you know, computers and being glued to your iPhone and, you know, all of that has taken root so strongly that I'm concerned about our face-to-face interactions with people, you know. Like my generation, I'm already feeling like kind of an elder in that, we didn't grow up with any of that, and I made a career out of helping people really interface with each other in positive and loving ways, and it just concerns me where things are going in that regard.
Well, the internet, for example, I think is a double-edged sword. On one end, you have stuff like cyber sex, which is absolutely, you know, it takes away the intimacy, the eye-to-eye contact, and so on. And yet, it's allowing people like us to do radio shows, be published, and, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, we're actually probably more of a competition to the major networks than what anybody's letting on to be. So, you know, I think, you know, it's all this technology is kind of like a double-edged sword, and it might lead us, help be part of the tools to get us out of this mess that we're in and that you're so brilliantly speaking to.
I really appreciate that you included the other sentient beings, the animals, the plants, in saying that they too are a part of this divine nature, because sometimes when what humankind is doing to itself and each other gets too overwhelming, that's where we need to turn in order to have a mirror for our own divine nature.
Oh, that is so true. And if you look around, I mean, everywhere I look, I see dog people because I'm always out with my dog. And we can carry on a conversation like we're best friends through our animals.
Exactly.
And when I was in my own kind of personal crisis, this dog landed in my lap on Mother's Day. It was just the cutest thing and brings so much love into our lives. It's that kind of love that is so unconditional and just, what an experience. I would love for everyone to have that experience, whether no matter where it's coming from, you know.
Dogs are powerful. We're talking today with Raina Lombard, co-author of Authentic Alignment, co-founder of the Awareness Network, and psycho-spiritual therapist. The book and information about her practice to support your total success are available at her website, innersuccess.com. We invite those of you listening live to join our conversation with her by calling 646-652-2235. Raina, what does it mean to be authentic?
Being authentic means being real, being congruent, saying what you mean and meaning what you say, being believable and genuine, you know. When you're authentic, people feel it, you become trustworthy, you're reliable, and things just work better, and you'll attract other people that are on that level when you are being authentic. It's also you're really your deeper, more spiritual self that is more compassionate and unconditionally loving. You may call it your eternal essence self when you feel most whole and peacefully powerful and in touch with your own higher wisdom or truth that guides your life in the most positive and growth-enhancing direction. So,
do you often find that when you're helping people to reach their authentic self, that they have to deal with all the negative emotions that they've blocked, their fears and their angers and their sadnesses?
Yes. In order to really reach and experience that authentic self, it really requires releasing resentments, deep-seated anger, fears, sadness and grief, to forgive, to let go. It really takes a lot of deep work. It's so worth it to do the work, you know, because, you know, you just feel a lot healthier and more aligned with who you really are and why you're here on the planet, what you're meant to do, and how you really feel as a being, you know, being honest with yourself. Yeah. You know, so
you talk about becoming love in action. How do you become love in action? Love is a verb.
Yeah, love and action. Really, for me and for the people that I know, it's about really feeling love inside yourself, coming from that place. Because let's face it, there's really only two states, to keep it simple. There's love and there's fear. Fear encompasses all the other, you know, quote-unquote negative emotions, you know, those anger and hurt and all of that gets wrapped up into fear. So it's about clearing all of that that is not love and just radiating love where there's no judgments, no negative thoughts coming into your mind. And to me, when I'm in that place, I am love in action. I am the Christ. I am feeling the God within. and coming from that place of pure radiant love. And that's why I'm here. And it's, I write about this in my chapter, that that's my purpose, my divine life purpose, is to radiate love and light to everyone and everything by being love and light. So that's my love in action, no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm playing tennis or I'm, you know, cooking a meal. Inside me, I'm like dancing and singing, because I love dancing and singing. To me, that's part of how I express my love and my joy. It's all wrapped up in that. Can you feel that coming from me? Because I'm really exuding it right now.
Yeah, you're radiating. How do you guide other people to the same kind of thing, to their own inner success?
Yeah, just like what we were saying, I have them do like a closed eye process work, where they're in touch with their body, they're in touch with their feelings. I guide them back to where they got stuck or traumatized. It could be in their childhood or teenage years as an adult. But of course, going back farther is really the key, because it's when we first made the decisions that I'm not okay, I'm not worthy, I'm ugly, I'm stupid, I'm not enough. Those, that kind of inner dialogue and those decisions that we make as children based on our experiences with the people that were there to protect us, the people that we looked up to, our parents, sometimes teachers, sometimes other adults or siblings or outside adults, you know. We just, as children with the child mind, we just don't know how to filter out those decisions. So it takes conscious awareness that those decisions are running our lives. And when you get in touch with it, then you can do something about it, because that's your power. And say, no, I'm not entertaining that. You know, if I'm not succeeding, it's because of my own negative thoughts. Like, I can't be blaming everything on my problems. My problems on other things and other people, because that's very disempowering. So it's really about owning it, working through it, working with someone like myself who can really assist you in clearing all that negative thought process and the painful emotions that go with it, so that you can be more in touch with your authentic self and move forward with confidence and with a sense of empowerment and, you know, trusting that the universe supports you 100%. It's just about really aligning and owning that, yes, that's true for me. I'm going with it. I believe in myself and this process. So, yeah, it's just all part of that healing that takes place.
That's powerful. Me and Mary will be over at your house soon. How do you help people intuit why they're here on this planet?
Say that again.
How do you help people intuit why they're here on this planet?
Intuit. Okay. Well, yeah. Again, once they clear out the negative thoughts, then there's, like in meditation, you know, once you clear out, you know, your mind, you can allow the higher thoughts to come in. And this, what I'm doing is a form of meditation, but it's more active in really releasing the past and what isn't working and focusing on what wants to come through. So it's about listening deeply to your higher self, to the wisdom. You could say it comes from deep within you that's been buried, or you could say it comes from a higher plane or voice. The point is that you listen and you get it, and whatever that is, you know, like get in touch with, well, what is it that really excites you? What is it that motivates you to want to get up every morning and make this the best day you can? what is it that you're naturally good at, you know, that comes easily to you? You know, for me, it was singing, but I squelched it for so many years because my father was a musician, and I had made a decision as a child that being musical means death. And I totally squashed it for a long, long time, and I wrote about it in the book. And that how, as I cleared that belief and realized that, well, that's what happened to him. I like singing. I'm going to really let myself get into it. And then I started joining choirs and really having fun with music. You know, so it was all about me getting out of my own way and make it happen. So, you know, that's how I intuited it and how I help other people and be in touch with it, is because they just need to listen to themselves and to what wants to come through without any interference from anyone else saying, oh, well, you know, you know, music, you'll never make any money being a musician or an artist. And, you know, these kinds of messages are not helpful.
No.
Because our soul, we both
got some writing, you know.
Experience that. Our soul wants to experience that so that I can grow and just make the most out of this life, you know?
Well, how wonderful that you did get past that connection between music and death, because music really carries so much life. It carries so much energy and the expansiveness and the beauty of life.
Absolutely. It's like this little voice came in and said, I can't live without it, which is true. My spirit would definitely not be as bright as when I am, like, singing I'm in a spiritual ministry, singing. And so when I'm not, like, singing to these congregations and seeing their love and being radiated back to me, I mean, it just is so uplifting. I can't even imagine not doing that. It's just so... so wonderful.
In your chapter of authentic alignment, you talk about the 7 keys to loving yourself and fulfilling your life. I'm wondering if you'll tell us about these 7 keys.
Sure. How much time do we have to go into them?
We have about a half an hour total left, so we would probably have about 15 minutes to do them if we're going to do the closing exercise we talked about.
Oh, okay, perfect. Great. Well, I did a workshop a few years ago, and it was about the 7 keys to a vibrant life, and I used those 7 keys in focusing them on empowering and fulfilling your divine life purpose. So the first one is about taking responsibility for your life and health. Because everything does happen to you for a reason, and it happens because of you. And it is in divine timing for your soul growth and transformation. So just know you have free will to decide how to react or respond to your circumstances. And once you accept what you draw into your life, then you can take charge of changing it if you don't like what's coming in. Because remember, the universe, God or spirit, supports what you think and feel about everything, whether it's a positive thing happening or a negative thing happening that you see as a negative thing. But it's actually what you need right at that time for your growth, okay? And you can change it. You have the free will. Because the truth is, there are no victims, only volunteers. And when I heard that, I was like, I was scratching my head a little bit. You know, I had not thought of it that way. Even though I was sometimes playing victim, I had to realize, I'm not a victim. I am responsible for my life and my health. So that means taking time to really take care of myself and make it happen for me and not expect other people to make it happen for me. You know, they can assist me. They can be there. as a support person, but I'm responsible. And of course, number two is taking good care of your body, and that we touched on too, because being healthy is your natural state of being. And I learned that you can even override your genetics through your positive thoughts and habits. So we all know we're supposed to be eating healthy foods and drinking good water to support our body, but that really depends on your own personal situation. What's healthy for you may not be healthy for others, though sugar is your universal poison, so forget that one. I've learned that the hard way. Pay attention. Pay attention when your body talks to you or screams at you. Because the truth is, and this is a good affirmation, health is my true wealth. Without health, even if I have a lot of money, it won't mean as much if you're not healthy and living your life to the fullest. So let's move on. Number three is about what causes your stress and becoming more conscious of what is causing your stress and doing something about that for yourself. You know, work with a practitioner if you need to. Notice when you're anxious or low energy, and you may even want to have a talk with that part of your body that's in pain or needs attention. That's really important. You may want to journal what's going on and brainstorm ways to be the change you want to see. You know, I know when I was experiencing a lot of stress over my son's wedding, I realized that I just needed to just do what I wanted to do with it and not get sucked into a lot of other people's ideas about how it should be. And that really helped me de-stress. Take charge of your stress. And one way to do that is number four, transform your negative beliefs and emotional pain and getting unstuck so that you can manifest your divine life purpose. And we talked a little bit about how, you know, you could work with a therapist, do some regression like I spoke about, going back into your past and healing and nurturing your inner child, letting go of those painful emotions as they come up, so that they're not feeling so stuck. And you become your own best therapist. I mean, I have my teddy bear right here in my office, and when I need to hug little Raina, I pick up my teddy bear or sometimes my whale or my dolphin. Those are really important in my life. I just remind her that she is a beautiful child of God and has so much to offer, and I just pick up my energy right there. Makes a huge difference. So number five is about opening your heart to create harmonious relationships with positive, like-minded, supportive people. I mean, this just makes sense that the people you hang around are going to definitely be influencing you one way or another. So, you know, when you feel good about yourself and you want to have high self-esteem, you want to be around like-minded and positive, loving people. And then if you find yourself getting triggered, say someone you are around is laying a trip on you of some sort, they're triggering your past or an upset in yourself, just know that you alone are not responsible for their feelings or happiness, okay? You might have contributed to them being upset, but you're not responsible for it, though you can be compassionate toward that person. And that can help them feel good, and you can get back on track with them. That's one way to do that. Because negative stuff comes up doesn't mean you want to, like, dish people in your life. Because, as you know, it happens. Shift happens, so to speak. Did you want to say something?
No, we were just laughing because, yes, shit happens.
Well, I didn't want to say that word, but I just figured you guys would get it. So yeah. So focusing on your own positive nature and feeling good, being happy and peaceful, you attract those people around you to create win-win situations. And that's what this world needs, is more people to just be focusing on creating a win-win instead of adversarial and competitive and fear-based, you know, wars. And, oh, my God, I could go on and on about that. So it's using the law of attraction in action and use it to your advantage by letting your inner light shine when you meet people. And it could be as simple as just a smile. And that could be lighting up somebody's day, and they would have had a crappy day if you had not smiled at them for no reason. Yeah. So that moves us into number six, committing yourself to a spiritual practice, being joyful and having fun. Because being spiritual is as easy as feeling loving and grateful or appreciative. And you can focus on that at any time. You know, it doesn't have to be, oh, I better meditate so I'll feel that way. You can do it like that. Just choose it.
Part of your practice and also fun is swimming with the dolphins, right?
Yes.
Back
in 1997, I was actually, quote unquote, called to connect with dolphins. And I really hadn't thought about dolphins since I was maybe a teenager watching Flipper on TV, But I just was fascinated with this woman I met named Ashleya Nielsen, who actually had trained dolphins and wrote a book called The Dolphin Tribe. And back in 1997, I was at the Creative Health Network's conference, and she was there, and I bought her book and started working with the cassette, listening to guided meditations about connecting with dolphins in the water and all of that. And I just got so enthralled with dolphins, and it was really the energy of the dolphin and being part of this dolphin tribe. It just hit me as I was reading the book that I'm part of that tribe. And there's many, many people on the planet, and actually maybe some ET people, or who knows, calling them people, but ETs who are also part of the dolphin tribe. And there's a planet called Sirius, and that's connected with the tribe. Anyway, I just started learning more and more and just getting into that energy. And then about 5 years later, I had a ruptured appendix and I was super sick. And I just kept bringing the dolphins into my meditations and into my healing space. And I did recover, you know. I mean, I might have recovered anyway, but that really helped me get on purpose. And then the next year I was in the water with the dolphins, and that was just amazing experience. Even though it was in captivity, it was a really up close and personal experience, you know, kissing the dolphin and dancing with. I still love my dolphin friend Kyber, who was my first. So I bring that joy and the love into my body and into my spirit and into my emotions, and that's part of my being, is having dolphin tune-ups. And connecting with the whales, too. The whales was a whole nother experience, more around 2011. I started really getting into this deep, deep soul wisdom and transformation through working with whale energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks for asking.
Yeah. And step seven.
Yes. Number seven, I'm here to assist you in fulfilling your divine life purpose by being your authentic self. And so again, to review, being your authentic self means being grounded in who you truly are, not what other people think you should be or what you think you should be in order to belong, to be accepted, to be okay. It's really about fulfilling your purpose that directs your life in a way that is most fulfilling for you and is for your highest good and growth. You become an original work of art as you present yourself as honest, natural, and believable. Empowering your divine purpose is saying yes to yourself, to your dreams, to what you're passionate about, and to realize what a gift you are to the planet with no ego attachment. So it's real important to not be coming from ego, but to really be present. It's interesting, the word present as a gift to the planet. And be in your loving, humble self when you say that, you know? So you may want to get a piece of paper out and a pencil or pen, because I'm going to do a little exercise with you. And so take a minute, because I want to take you through this example of how you can get really find out who you are as your higher self. And the way I did that is to just have you answer these, fill in these blanks, okay? But first I'm going to give you an example. I am the bright sun that warms and illuminates the planet for people to manifest their highest and best selves. So that example has you thinking about yourself in a metaphorical way. Like in this case, I am the bright sun. It could be, I am the gentle wind. Or in my case, I am the spiritual warrior. Not always warrior. Sometimes I am the bright light. Time I changed it to I am the brilliant light. And that was taking it to another level. So get in touch with yourself as a metaphor. Starting with I am the, and then what comes to mind when you think of yourself as a metaphor? And if you don't get it now, just write down, I am the, and then let it come to you later when you're relaxed and it just comes through. Okay? So the next part of this is, what is your soul's expression? In the example I gave you, I am the bright sun. The soul's expression is, starts with the word that, warms and illuminates the planet. So that's your soul's expression. Warms and illuminates the planet is an example of one person's soul's expression. How about you two? Are you doing the exercise too? Do you want to share anything?
Sure. Yes. I've written, I am the rich soil that embraces the seeds of life.
Beautiful. That's awesome. So the next part of this.
Burl?
Is, yeah, oh, Burl. Yes, Burl. Please share.
I am the deep ocean that leads to deep peace for inner fulfillment so that people will create peace on the planet.
Beautiful. So that last part was so that people create peace on the planet. That would be your gift, your contribution, your service, and or your impact that you're making. So that's the last part. So again, it's I am the metaphor of your authentic self, that your soul's expression so that people or for people to, yeah, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I guess my so that statement is so that the sun and rain of life can draw forth or help to evolve the beautiful flower or fruit that each person is.
Oh, how lovely. I really connect with you, Mary.
Thanks.
Yeah, because we're all here as healers and as way showers, as caretakers of the earth to assist in that process. That's beautiful. Thank you. That's great. Okay. So I'll ask you, was that pretty clear?
Maybe the listener, because we happen to have the book right in front of us, needs to know
right.
that it's for what it's that the third part of the statement, you know, I am mm-hmm. the metaphor that does this for, and then what it, how it serves the world.
Exactly. For, and then fill in the blank, or so that people, you know, find their true purpose, or that people find the rightful job for them. Whatever it is, your service or contribution, gift or impact is to the community. It doesn't have to be a global thing, okay? It can be to your family, to others, or to the world, and to the world. Wonderful. That's great. So, as you complete that, I want to share an affirmation for you. And this is I, and put your name in there, write your name down, am ready, or you could say I'm beginning to be ready if you're feeling like not quite ready. It's okay. If you keep saying I'm beginning to feel ready or beginning to be ready, then pretty soon you will be ready. So I, and put your name, am ready to live and express my highest authentic self. Maybe writing that down, so I'll give you time. I, and your name, am ready to live and express my highest authentic self in harmony with my divine life purpose. And remember, your purpose is your contribution, gift, service, or impact to others based on being your authentic self. You're in alignment with your authentic self. And the second sentence would be, I am committed to being who I truly am. I am committed to being who I truly am and sharing my highest contribution to humanity. Sharing my highest contribution to humanity. Now remember, your highest contribution today may not be the one that you're in touch with 5 or 10 or 20 years from now. It's you keep evolving. So just keep that in mind, you know. I'm in my 60s now, and I'm in a place now that I couldn't even have imagined, you know, maybe 30 or 40 years ago. So, yeah. just keep being yourself and keep really being in touch with your highest good for your life, and things will keep evolving and growing and changing for the good.
Let me state here for the listeners that this exercise that she's leading us through is the closing part of her chapter in the book Authentic Alignment, and you can find it there. Can you? They also find it on your website, or?
Yes, absolutely. There's an icon when you get on InnerSuccess.com on the right. You'll see the book cover. It's orange and yellow, and it's called Authentic Alignment. Wise Women Reveal the Secrets to a Stellar Life. So there's a lot of jewels in here for men as well. And just click that, and it takes you to a page and talks about the book, and you can pay for it right there on PayPal. Yeah.
Great.
It's only $20, too. And if you go on Amazon, it's going to be $25 plus postage and all of that. So you will get a discount.
We always stress, please go to the author's own site if possible, because that's where the benefits of your money are going to do the most good.
Right, and I'm more than happy to have a session with you on Skype or on the phone if you can't make it to my office in Saratoga, California, on the creek, which is lovely. But energy moves everywhere, so I'm here for you.
Okay.
Well, great. Would you close with that closing paragraph, let go of your fears and doubts?
Oh, I absolutely will. And I want to thank all the listeners out there for being part of the Envision This family. And I want to thank Mary and Burl for your dedication and this wonderful platform to share this enlightening information. So here's how I would love to close by letting you know that it's really time to let go of your fears and doubts, to appreciate and develop your skills, gifts, and talents, to open up to the natural flow of abundance and enjoy yourself. Be in joy. And when you think of what you do as being of service, you feel wonderful, making a greater impact and contribution to the world. So this is my tagline always: transform your life for good.
Transform your life for good.
Yes, and good takes on a couple of meanings there, if you got my drift.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yay.
Like,
go ahead.
We are very grateful to you for this episode and for all that you have shared and for the peace and love and passion that comes out over the airwaves as you speak. And we are grateful to our listeners who are not only hungry for the kinds of things that our guests share, but also hungry for opportunity to co-create with us a future that is more resilient and equitable and healthy and life-affirming and earth-friendly for everybody. And if you wish to support our work in bringing this program to you, please go to our website, envisionthismedia.com, where there's a button where you can make a donation if your heart feels moved in that way. And thank you. Thank you all.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so
God
much.
Bless you.
Thank you.
You, girl.
Thank you for the work that you're doing. You're a blessing to humanity and to the earth.
Oh, wow, that really touched me. I feel like crying right now.
That's all right. Go ahead and cry, because, you know, it's hard for us to acknowledge, but it's crucial for us to acknowledge we all are God's gift to the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Burl, when you said that, I felt like it was my father telling me that, too, because I missed that part of him.
How wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, the world needs more of all of us.
On that night, that note, good night to everyone and to you.
Good night.
Uh-huh, sweet dreams.
Mm-hmm.